Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Wednesdays with Walton, our chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. You can see his work at thecardinalnation.com, and that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, a labor of love for him. And it's covering not only the Major League team, but certainly a great dive and resource into the minor leagues. Brian, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And it was a fun game to watch last night, the Cardinals beating the Cubs.
Absolutely. And now it should be a fun day of following what player goes where, and I'm assuming it's going to be a flurry of trades. So what is this time like in your years of covering baseball, and in particular, the minor leagues? What's it like for a minor league player, the trade deadline in the major league game?
Most of them, you know, don't think necessarily it's going to affect them unless you're in a position, you know, where there's a surplus. I don't know for sure. I haven't been in Memphis lately, but, you know, given the large number of outfielders relatively close to the majors, you'd think maybe some of those guys might be a little nervous. And then I'm talking about the, you know, Adolis Garcia, Randy Arozarena's, you know, who there's more of them than there appear to be major league, maybe even Tyler O'Neill, you know, where there doesn't appear to be as many slots for them. But, you know, you can't really do anything about it, so it's not really anything to get too worried about. It's usually the big names that are being talked about, and the minor leaguers tend to be sort of a, I don't want to say an afterthought, but, you know, it tends to be less clear about which of those guys are going to get moved.
I know you like to listen to John Mozeliak on my site every Monday, and I asked him about Arozarena, and he said, well, yeah, he's having a really good year, but he's not on the 40-man, and right now we've got Ozuna coming back. He was on a rehab assignment last night. We've got others that we like in the outfield, so if he's coming up, he sits. If we keep him down there, he plays. He's an intriguing guy that it looks like has kind of made that turn to be very close to joining the Major League club.
Yeah, he is. And Randy Arozarena, a 24-year-old Cuban, was signed in the same year Adolis Garcia was. And a little younger, it took him a little longer to get consistent. But this year, he's hit very well, both at Springfield and Memphis. He hits batting like .360 in his last 10 games. So, you know, he continues to hit. And he has to be added to the 40-man roster this winter to be protected from the Rule 5 draft in December. But after the season, free agents depart, so their 40-man roster spots come open. Right now, the 40-man is tight, and, you know, as you mentioned, or as Mo mentioned, you know, there's not a clear path to regular at-bats in the outfield. So, you know, adding another guy, Arozarena, to the mix when you already, you know, don't have enough at-bats probably to play Lane Thomas, and, you know, you wonder how much opportunity is going to be there for Tyler O'Neill once Ozuna gets back, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, Arozarena is a guy that, you know, looks like he'll have a future, but it may not be here in 2019.
How about Matt Carpenter on a rehab assignment, still looking for that first hit? What other reports that you're getting on Matt?
Well, you know, Matt's, you know, drawn a few walks, but, you know, he's just not getting the ball in play. And, you know, the frustration clearly has to be building with him. I guess he's going to be going back to Memphis again. And, of course, they're trying to keep him with whatever club is at home, so he doesn't have to go on the road as he continues his rehab. But it appears that the wise thing and something that Matt agrees with, you know, is that, you know, until he gets going, there's no sense in bringing him up to St. Louis. And by the way, I should think that major league players don't have to go on minor league rehab assignments. There's no requirement that they have to go. So, you know, I at least give Matt credit for the fact that he realized that, hey, you know, the right thing for me is to go down to the minor leagues and try to get straight and wait and come back when the major league team, you know, when he's ready and that he can contribute. And again, he wouldn't have had to do that, but I think, you know, he realized that was the right thing to do. And it just, you know, hasn't come together for him yet.
No, it really hasn't. And that's of concern right now, I think, for the Cardinals is what do you do, Brian, right now with Matt Carpenter? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, he's obviously not only been a regular player, but he's been a guy that's led off the lineup for the last multiple years. And, you know, you just can't, you know, they tried for weeks and weeks and months to bat him lead off and let him play his way out of it. He couldn't do it. And, you know, the team's playing well right now with other guys. Now, you know, it's not, It's not like Munoz or even Tommy Edman are playing necessarily at an all-star level like Matt Carpenter did at his best, but they're playing steady. And, you know, Matt wasn't steady except steady, you know, bad. So, you know, and by the way, minor league rehabs for position players are only 20 games. So at the end of 20 games, he's going to have to, and he's, you know, he's not even halfway there yet, but it's not that long until there's going to be a decision that's going to have to be made unless another injury comes. You know, they're going to have to bring him back up. But, you know, maybe he has to sit on the bench, be a pinch hitter, a super utility guy until he can show that he can get the ball in play. And I don't think all of it is the shift, but certainly that's a major – it's been a major concern for some time because of his reluctance to go against the shift, but to try to get through it and around it. And that, of course, you know, diminishes his opportunities to get hits.
I love what you do in terms of deals and putting comparables together that the Cardinals have in their system, opposed to what other teams may give up for certain players in trades. And you did that last night with Trevor Bauer and Yasiel Puig and others that are in that deal. It's very, very interesting. Go ahead and break that down.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer, obviously a very good pitcher, has had some issues in terms of his behavior. But, you know, putting that aside, he's a guy who's got a year plus a couple months left on his contract. And the Cincinnati Reds nabbed him in a three-player trade, a big surprise that the Reds would get him. But the price that they gave up was very steep. The Reds gave up three players who align pretty well to three Cardinals, and they are Marcell Ozuna, Nolan Gorman, and Genesis Cabrera. And the way that I came up with that analysis is Yasiel Puig is a power-hitting outfielder, free agent to be, just like Ozuna. And by the way, the Reds gave up the opportunity to get a compensation pick for Puig this winter by offering him arbitration by trading him now. So that's one. Taylor Trammell, the top outfield prospect that the Reds gave up. Depending on who you talk to, he's ranked anywhere from 15 to 30 in MLB, and that's a good comp for Nolan Gorman. And then the third player the Reds gave up is a left-handed prospect who's number 12 in their system, and that's about where Genesis Cabrera is in the Cardinals system. So you look and you say, hey, Trevor Bauer's a guy that would look good in any rotation, but for a year and a couple months, was it worth giving up Ozuna, Gorman, and Genesis Cabrera? It's a big price that the Reds paid, and the prevailing wisdom, at least early around baseball, is that the Indians got a tremendous return for Bauer.
Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you, hotshotsnet.com. More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. Shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. So this week, simplify shopping. Try the new features on the Schnucks Rewards app. Shopping will never be the same. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today. I'm curious, too, about Nolan Gorman. Number one, do you think yes or no he'll be dealt tomorrow, and or rather today? And the other thing would be, where is he right now in his progress? How would you evaluate the season for Nolan?
Well, Nolan got off to a tremendous start in April, was slow in May and into June, got that promotion to Palm Beach, started off slowly, and then has now gotten into a groove where he's, you know, hitting in the 250-ish range, showing some power, occasional power. Hitting three home runs. He's getting an RBI every other game, which is about his rate in Peoria as well. So he's playing well. He's not playing at an all-star level, but again, we're talking about a guy that's 19 years old playing at high A. So, so far I would say Gorman is passing the test at Palm Beach. And the big question, I think, will be, I don't think he's going to be traded. I think the big question will be, will this time in Palm Beach be enough that he can move to a good hitting league in AA Springfield next year? And if so, at age 20, you know, then he's right on the track of Dylan Carlson.
How good has Carlson been this year? And I don't see them having any way of trading him unless they're just blown away. But how good has Carlson been, in your opinion, this year?
Well, I mean, he's leading the Texas League in home runs and extra base hits. And, you know, the 18 home runs get a lot of attention, but he's also got 22 doubles and six triples. Six triples as well as 13 stolen bases. So, I mean, you got a guy that's showing power, and he's also showing some speed. He's batting right around 290. You know, it's just been a very, very consistently good season for Dylan Carlson at Double A, and it begs the question, you know, if he's going to go up to Memphis, it would have to be here probably in the final month. And there's so many outfielders that I don't see how he would fit in the picture unless there were some trades. But you know, that certainly could happen. Otherwise, then you say, gosh, you know, could he make the jump from Double A to the major leagues? It wouldn't be unheard of. Yeah, you know, he certainly will be a guy to watch next spring, especially you know, if you assume that Ozuna's going to leave and Tyler O'Neill hasn't seized the job.
Catchers promotions. We've had some of those in the minor leagues this past week.
Yeah. There was an injury at Springfield. Chris Chinea apparently hurt his hand out on Molina, and that enabled them to move up three catchers, actually. Julio Rodriguez is a 20-year-old tore up the Florida State League early in the season, had a terrible, terrible June. I mean, literally his June was like the worst month of any player in the entire system, but then he got going again in July, and he's a good young prospect. He's in the 20s in our rankings in the system. But the guy who's really the top prospect in this group of catching moves is a young man named Ivan Herrera. And Herrera has just turned 19. He had been at Peoria playing very, very well. And, you know, has now moved up to Palm Beach. So he's another guy that you could see him, if he can perform well at Palm Beach for the final month of the season, you know, another guy in his age 20 season who could be at Springfield. So, you know, it's good to see the Cardinals have a number of good young catching prospects beyond
In terms of Johnson City, I know there was a little movement with that club. What happened?
Well, Johnson City is actually, you know, in the thick of the battle in the Appalachian League, which is nice because they were the last place team last year, and they're doing well offensively. We talked about Trajan Fletcher being moved up from the Gulf Coast League, and he hasn't really taken off all that well yet, although he has 12 RBI in 16 games. So, you know, that part's good. Terry Fuller, who was an outfielder of the Cardinals, took a gamble on a couple years ago, starting to play much better. Same with Victor Garcia, who was a international signing a couple years ago. But the two guys that are really the top prospects there, outfielder John Torres and third baseman Malcolm Nunez, and both those guys were tried at Peoria in May. They didn't stick, so then when June came, they were moved into short season ball. Nunez was hurt, but now that he's come back, he's played a couple weeks now, batting 340. Six RBI in 13 games, third baseman. So Nunez is doing well. And John Torres has played about 18 games, 11 RBI, 275 batting average, OPS 940. So both those guys are performing very, very well in the Appalachian League. And that's something good to see because, you know, we're still talking about teenagers. And so, you know, the fact that they're in a short season ball isn't necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, giving them a try at Peoria would have been great if they would have stuck, but there are other guys that have done that and they didn't make it, and they certainly did fine in their career. So, you know, both these guys are showing well in short season ball.
The Cardinals claimed Adalberto Mejia off of waivers from the Angels. What do we know about him? And in a general sense, what do you know about the left-handed relief help at Memphis?
Well, you know, it's interesting that the Cardinals let Hunter Venka go. He had not given up a run in the entire month of July, minor league veteran. They apparently decided that he wasn't going to be, you know, in the picture for St. Louis this year. Of course, he wasn't on the 40-man. As we know, Chasen Shreve had been designated for assignment a second time. He cleared waivers and decided to stay with the organization, so he's there. So, and then now, of course, they've added Zach Roscup from the Dodgers, and he'll be at Memphis. But Alberto Mejia has a pretty good major league track record, pretty long major league track record, primarily with the Twins. And he was mostly a starter. He came up as a starter. So he's a guy that maybe can go more than just one batter, like a traditional lefty one-out guy. But he's had both these guys, Roscup and Mejia, that the Cardinals picked up this year, have had a tremendous problem with walks this year, much worse than in their career overall, and that's really hurt their numbers. So, it'll be interesting to watch to see maybe if the Cardinals coaches or a change of scenery can help them, because you look at their numbers, their ERA, et cetera, and it's not very impressive at all. And we, you just have to hope that this isn't the only help that the Cardinals are bringing in this year. But on the other hand, Mejia looks like a guy that, would be a decent contributor at the back end of the pen.
And finally, Brian, at thecardinalnation.com, I mentioned that you are constantly adding daily reports from all the different minor league cities. What have you been working on here this past week?
Well, Derek Shore, our Springfield reporter, is really on a hot streak with a double-A team in town. He's written a number of features, the most recently about Montero, who's now back from injury. He had a hamate bone injury, and he's our number 3 ranked prospect in the system, and he's back making up for time, but he's lost time. And then an interesting guy, Yerio Gonzalez, who's kind of an organizational guy that has hit high average everywhere he's gone. And he sat down and not only talked about his love of Puerto Rico, but some of the challenges a guy who, signed for $1,000 and is more of an organizational guy, the kind of challenges he faces as he's trying to reach the majors. So in addition to our daily coverage of the minor league teams and all the transactions that occur across the system, we try to do these features where we get in and get to know some of the players better.
Hey, Brian, thanks so much. Should be a fun day. And I know if the Cardinals make a deal, head to thecardinalnation.com and find out how it affects the minor leagues. I know you'll be all over that. And we'll catch up next Wednesday. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Hair Salon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Salon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Salon for Men.